in Jesus Christ, we have joy and we have a hope. And so today we're in our second week in the book of Proverbs. We've called this series, The Road Less Stupid, after your pastor who does a lot of stupid stuff, and he's trying to do less stupid stuff. So if you'd like to join me in the journey to be less stupid, this is the series for you. And so if that's not you today, you might want to find another church, because there's no perfect people in here. I've been pastor here for 9 years, and I know there's no one perfect here. Yeah, I've been here. You know that I'm not perfect, and so we're just kind of in this journey together. I love this. One of my favorite books of the Bible is Proverbs. I love it because it's practical, straightforward. I love the New Testament book of James because, again, it's practical. There's no guessing, but it's just straightforward wisdom from the mouth of Solomon, who doesn't mean because you have wisdom means that you live wisely. Solomon himself lived an incredibly stupid life and threw so much of his talents and gifts away, but he had great wisdom. And so we're going to listen to his wisdom by trying not to follow the example of his life, and learn from him what we can. And I like to start things a little bit, just, I shared my stupid story, and I have plenty of those, but I was like, I don't need to bag on myself every time I get up in front of you. So I heard this story about, it's the end of school, so a lot of you are probably excited. School's out, summer, whether you're teachers, students, or whatever, you're excited about that. And so this is a story about some middle school girls who every day before school started, they kind of got into this tradition or routine of putting lipstick on before school started, and they would go to the bathroom mirrors and they would plant kisses all over the mirror. And so there was all these lipstick kisses all over the mirror. And of course, we all know someone gets to clean that up, right? So there's the custodian, they thought, this is just a little fad that's going to go on for a few days, but it went on for a week, about a week and a half, and the principal said, okay, we can't do this. So she called these girls into the bathroom and said, we need to let you know that while this is innocent to you and seems just ha-ha funny, it's a lot of work for our custodian. Let's just call him Joe. And so she said, Joe here works really hard. This makes him have to work extra hard. And so out of respect for him, we want you to stop doing this. In fact, I want him to demonstrate how hard it is to clean this mirror for you, so you know what he's up against each day when you're having your fun. And so she said, Joe, would you show us what you do? And he pulled out his squeegee. He went back to the toilet. He put the squeegee in the toilet, got it out, brought it out, and cleaned that sucker off real nice and clean. Didn't have a problem the rest of the year. There was no more lipstick on the mirrors. Don't you wish that there were things and triggers in our life like that that helped us not do stupid stuff? We do that stupid thing and you had something simple like that, not a terrible consequence, but something that just kind of helped us be less stupid. That's Proverbs. Proverbs is such wisdom that is there for us that it's Billy Graham. It was part of his devotional life for years. And if it worked for Billy Graham, I think it worked for any of us. His devotional life every day was to read 5 chapters of Psalms and 1 chapter of Proverbs every day. And you do that, you can read it every 30 days. And some of you have joined in that challenge of reading through the book of Proverbs. He read a book of 1 chapter of Proverbs every day and 5 chapters of Psalms. He said the Psalms taught him to praise God. And we know some of the Psalms, it's not just high on the mountain, but there's a lot of lamenting in Psalm. There's a lot of suffering and pain. And we're taught through the psalmist and a lot of King David how to praise God even in the midst of our sorrow, even in the midst of our pain. So Billy Graham said, Psalms taught me to praise God, and Proverbs gave me the wisdom of God. So imagine if you're just digesting this month in, month out, and you're reading a chapter of Proverbs, because there's so many good ones, they're hard to remember. But if you're getting that into your mind and in your thought, we might be able to be on the road less stupid. I do want to tell you that Proverbs is about probabilities. It's about principles. It doesn't mean it happens every time. My girls, to give an example of that, both of my girls, they didn't want to get in trouble at school. They had a kind of an unhealthy fear, especially Reagan, my oldest, had a very unhealthy fear of getting in trouble at school. And the anxiety was kind of so high that we said, we got to do something about this. This isn't healthy for her. So we said, hey, Reagan, if you keep your nose clean And we said this to Riley too. If you keep your nose clean, you're going to be okay. You do what's right, you're not going to get in trouble. You don't have to worry about getting in trouble if you just do the right thing. Well, she had a comeback for that. See, there were several times that the whole class got in trouble. You know, always hated that when the whole class got in trouble. The whole class had to write sentences on, you know, on their paper. I mean, the whole class had to pay a penalty for one or two person's sins. Well, that happened to her a few times. She said, no, that doesn't work. She took it personally that the whole class got in trouble. So I instituted this parenting rule or skill in our house. I said, hey, I'll tell you what. If you ever get sent to the principal's office, you're going to get $20, no questions asked, for your first offense. I want to make sure it wasn't for multiple offenses. I just said, hey, you'll get $20. That never happened until Riley, my youngest, her senior year at Bueller High School. She was late her second semester, and it was a Wednesday morning, and I guess that was a time where you really weren't supposed to be late because of something. I don't remember what it was. And so she called. She overslept. She called in a panic. I said, don't worry about it. You know, it'll slap on the wrist, and you'll go on with your day. Well, she called about 30 minutes later, and she was crying because she had received an in-school suspension, a half day in school suspension. And I said, Riley, $20. You just made $20. Kind of lighten the mood a little bit. It's principles and it's probabilities. It doesn't mean, as we're talking about Proverbs, it always happens. You know, it says, train a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. They'll come back to it. That is a principle. That's a probability. I mean, the odds are higher that if you train your children in the right way, there's a better chance. But God has given us all a free will. And the best parents in the world have seen their child, Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham. I mean, he was a wild rebellious until he was 40-something years old. I mean, he totally ran from God and strayed from God. So it is probabilities, it's principles. And so as we go through Proverbs, I want us to think about that. And today we're going to my favorite chapter, chapter 3. And we're going to spend our time in about 12 verses, chapters 1 through 12 this morning. And we're starting off chapter 3, verse 1, says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. And there again, right off the bat, we have a probability. We have a principle. Just because you do what's right doesn't guarantee that you're going to live a long life. We all know some great and awesome people, God-fearing, love Jesus people who died way too young, and young people. So it doesn't always mean that it happens, but it's kind of like raising the lid of your life. The probabilities, I mean, if you aren't playing in the street, the probabilities of you getting hit by a car go down a lot more, right? If you're not playing in the street, if you remember your parents used to say, stay in the yard, stay in the yard. Because if you stayed in the yard, the probabilities of you living longer was much better. So it's all probabilities about raising your life. And it says, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Now, I do believe that God gives us a peace and prosperity regardless of our physical state. I got to see that with my mother-in-law this last week. There was a peace in that room. There was a prospering of the soul despite physically declining and wearing away. There is a spiritual peace and prosperity, as it says in 3 John verse 2, beloved, I pray that in every way you may succeed and prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. This is a prayer we all pray. Don't we all pray this for our kids, for our families? We pray for their protection. We pray that their health would prosper. We pray for a healthy lives, and we pray that we would succeed and they would prosper physically. But most importantly, here, this may or may not happen, but I know your soul prospers. We can know that our soul prospers spiritually, regardless of our circumstances. If our faith is in trust, is in Jesus Christ, our soul can prosper even if things around us are outwardly falling apart. Our soul can be rich. Our soul can prosper. Verse 3, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Love and faithfulness. Let love and faithfulness. Time around your neck. Make it hard. Write it on the tablet of your heart. Love and faithfulness is our character. It's our essence of who we are. It's who we are when we're not around, if we will tie love and faithfulness around it. To write it on the tablet of your heart. Your heart is everything. God said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's not just some little thing or some organ. It's describing who you are. It's describing the essence of everything, everything you have. In everything, word and deed, do it all for the glory of God. Give your all to God. Give your best to God. Doesn't mean you're going to give a perfect life to God, but you're going to give God your best. You're going to give him your best. You're going to write, you're going to have love and faithfulness be written on your heart, because the heart is so important. Everything we do flows from the heart. Pastor Dustin will speak more on this next week, but a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. If you're filling your life with God, you're filling your life with Jesus, you're filling your life with his faithfulness and his love, good things are going to flow out of your mouth. If you're filling your life with bitterness, if you're filling your life with resentment, if you're filling your life with anger, things that you are going to regret are going to be coming out of your mouth. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it indulge and will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. There are consequences to our words. And where our words come from are from what's deep down in our heart. From the things that that we speak. Is love coming out of our mouths? Is encouragement, is building each other up in our marriage, in our family, in our workplaces, with our classmates, with our teammates? Are we being filled up with God so what's coming out of us is the love and faithfulness of God? Are we being filled up with the words of the enemy? Are we being filled up with bitterness and resentment? Are we filling our minds up? Because there's a battle that goes on here between our two ears. Forget everyone else. There's a battle that goes on between here. What are you filling your own mind up with? Are you filling your mind up with the love and the faithfulness and the grace and the mercy of God? Are you thinking about everything that is good and noble and right and just and lovely and praiseworthy? Are you doing that thing that I call stinking thinking? I fight the battle of stinking thinking. If I'm honest this morning, while I was preaching first service, between this service and the second service, I was battling some stinking thinking. Some negative self-talk. We can go there so quickly. What are we building? What are we filling our lives with? Because what we fill our lives with is going to come out. And we have the ability with God's help to speak life into people, encouragement, and build them up. We can speak life into our marriage and into our family. We can speak encouragement into our coworkers and into our classmates. Or we can go to work and we can tear people down. We can destroy relationships. We can hurt other people with our words. Our mouths are a powerful thing. They have the ability to bring life into a situation or to bring destruction and death. But we have to fill our lives with the love and faithfulness of God. Because when we do that, verse 4 says, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. This is a tall order and a tall challenge. And I was thinking about my own life in this, and I was thinking, man, I want to win favor and a good name in the sight of God, in the sight of others. No one wants a bad reputation. No one wants people to think ill of them. But I'll be honest, as a human being, as a person that has made done things in my life and said things that weren't building up, weren't life, I know in this world today, and I hope they're not in this room, I know in this world today, I don't have a good name with everybody. I'm sure in some circles, you mentioned Kent Peterson, and it doesn't bring warm fuzzies to them. Probably brings up some negative connotations. And we all have that. We all live life, and you live long enough, you probably have a few enemies because we're human beings and we're not perfect. But I was thinking about this and going, man, God, with your help and by your grace, I would like to have a good name in your sight. That's the most important, is that we have a good name in the sight of God. And you know what? In the sight of man, take it a little closer to home. You know who it's most important that I have a good name with? Is my wife and my two daughters. My immediate family. In other words, we can have all the success in the world. You can think I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread, which you don't. I know better than that. But you could think I'm great and I'm a great pastor or whatever. It doesn't matter at the end of the day what you think. What matters at the end of the day is that I'm the hero in my own home. That I'm striving, and I don't do this perfectly. And even after the first service, Heather's not here in the second service. She was here in the first, so I have a little more liberty to share a little bit more with you. After the first service, I totally blew it in my communication with how we were picking up Reagan today at the airport and my parents were going to go. I'm not going to bore you with the story, but I'll just tell you, I was in some hot water after the first service. And I was like, hey, I've had a lot on my mind. Give me some grace. And we did that. We kind of worked through that and stuff. But I'm just saying, there's going to be times where we offend one another, where we let each other down because we're human beings. We're not perfect. But at the end of the day, I want to strive for being the man of my house, not your house. I want to strive that the love and faithfulness of God, that the forgiveness and the grace and mercy of God is in my life being poured out into the life of my family. That's what I want to strive for. I think that's a good goal for us to strive for. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is my favorite verse in the Bible. It's my life verse. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. This was the verse when I was ordained in 2007 in Sacramento, California. Right before we got up there, the guy, the leader that was going to lay hands on us and ordain us said, hey, I want you to have a life verse that you put your hand on that we're going to pray over. And I was like 28, 29 years old, and I was like, I don't have a life verse. I don't know what a life verse is, really. But all these other guys were like, oh, yeah, I know my life verse. And they had some really cool life verses, and I was like, I got nothing. But what came to my mind was a childhood scripture that my parents had taught me, and one of the first verses I memorized as a young child that my parents taught me was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he, or submit to him. I like that word better. Submit to him and he will make your path straight. There's three things that is asked of us. That we trust God. That we submit to God. We trust and submit. We trust and obey. We trust him with all of our heart. We submit to him with everything that we have. That we lean not on our own understanding. And then there's this promise, and he will make your path straight. God will straighten out the paths of our life if we will trust him. If we will submit our lives to him, our families to him, our marriages to him, our future to him, our jobs, our vocations. If we will trust God with everything and submit it to him, he's going to direct our paths. Now, it doesn't mean that there's not bumpy roads along the way. It doesn't mean there's not some crooked paths that happen along the way. But God is going to direct us along those paths. And he has our best interest in mind. He has our best hopes in mind. He has our best future in mind. And he will make our path straight. I was thinking about this and how this has kind of played out in my life. And I thought back to about 9.5 years ago when Heather and I were considering coming to Hutchison First Church of the Nazarene. And at that exact same time, in fact, while we were landing on our first interview, we were getting a call from this beautiful church. It was a large church in Oregon to be their teaching pastor. He was going to retire in 2 years. He's a really good friend of mine. And I thought, man, this would be a great opportunity. The season that we were in, this sounded like a great thing. I had met with their staff a couple weeks later in between our first and second interview. Long story short, you make a pro list and a con list. God gave us a brain to think with and use our understanding. And we wrote out a pro list and a con list, and we begin to really pray and think about these things. And this is not a knock against you. I don't mean this in a bad way, but honestly, the pros for the other place was stronger than this one. And I reached out to my mentor, and you've heard me talk about Ray Johnson, and I told him about both churches, both communities, and where it was, and all that was going on. And we got down to the end. He said, well, probably kind of looks like a no-brainer to me. Probably need to go to Oregon. But Heather and I couldn't get Hutchison out of our heart and arm. There was something about it. There was something like, it doesn't make sense to us. We don't understand it. But we couldn't get Hutchison out of our hearts and out of our minds. And God began to reveal to us through his word this move that we felt like we were to make. Even though our mentor said maybe not the way that we should go. Maybe our understanding thought maybe this is the way we should go. But now, 9 years later, don't you wish all of our decisions were hindsight, not foresight? How much smarter would we all be if we could make, because I've made plenty of decisions where I completely leaned on my understanding. And I'm like, God, this, or I didn't include God in it. It's just like, this makes sense. I'm going this direction. But looking 9 years back now, I'm so thankful that this has been our journey. And now I can see where God's been at work in that journey, in our girls' life, in their direction and where they're going. So many things I can't tell you today that would not have happened. And I'm not saying it would have been bad and it would have been terrible, but I just believe that God's best for us was here. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Again, this is a principle. This is a probability. Yes, we can live righteously. We can do the right thing. We can follow Jesus with all our heart, and we still die of cancer. We still have breakdowns in our bodies, and we still have jobs that we may lose. It doesn't mean we're not a prosperity gospel church. We're not a name it, claim it. The greatest example of that is the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, followed God in a way that we all should desire. But at the end of the day, he was shipwrecked, beaten, thrown into prison, and he paid with his life for the gospel. He died a martyr's death for the gospel. But I can tell you, Paul lived the best life, and the eternal rewards that God has had for Paul and he has for us. But if we will not be wise in our own eyes, and I know that I know you've heard this. Every one of us have heard people, maybe you've said this before. You know, if God is this way, you fill in the blank. If God is this way, I can't serve a God like that. Or if God does this, you fill in the blank, then I can't believe in that kind of God. And I think, who are we to tell God how to be God? Who are we? Who do we think we are to tell the God of the universe, the Lord of all creation, who sees from beginning to end, who sees the whole picture, and we just see this little blip on the radar? Who are we to tell God how to be God? Who to do what we think is best? There's a trust in the Lord. To not be wise in our own eyes is chapter 1, verse 7, the key verse of this whole Proverbs, that the fear of the Lord, the awe, the respect of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. This brings health to your body and nourishment to your bones. A couple more verses, 9 and 10, says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Again, a probability, a principle, because you give and trust God with your finances and give to him first. We don't preach that you're going to get a Lamborghini, a Porsche, and the big house. That's not what we preach. But we do believe that God takes care of his children, that his kids don't beg for bread, that he knows what we need. And he's the one that has given us our jobs and our employment. And we can either look at it and go, hey, I'm just very talented. I'm good at what I do. I've earned this. I'm doing it. Or we can sit there and say, no, I have what I have because of the grace of God. I have my abilities and gifts because of what he's given me, not what I've done. And we when we give to God, we don't give to him. We give to him first because we're saying we trust you. We don't give to God because God needs it. He owns 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hillsides. Everything belongs to him. The whole earth and everything in it. He made it. It all belongs to him. But when we give, we're saying, I trust you. I submit to you. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding, and he will make our path straight. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. What we give to shares what we value and where we put our faith and our trust. And you will never go wrong giving your first and your best to God and trusting him with it. And finally, it says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as the father, the son he delights in. If you've ever felt the discipline of God or his correction or maybe his rebuke, he loves you. It's a good thing. A good father and mother correct their sons and their daughters. They discipline them not because they enjoy it. I mean, my dad said it all the time. I did that because I love you. Remember that after he spanked you? It's child abuse today, but I mean, back then, spare the rod, spoil the child. I'm not saying it's child abuse either. Just do it in private, do it in secret, okay? I'm not even saying that. I'm sounding really bad right now. I'm just dumb things, big regrets. Listen more, speak less. My son, don't despise the Lord's discipline. Forget the last 45 seconds, everything you just heard. Do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke, because he disciplines those he loves. And if you haven't experienced the discipline of God in a while, I think of my high school and college football coaches that said, if I stop yelling at you, if we stop yelling at you, it means we've given up on you. My coaches never gave up on me. And you know what? God doesn't give up on us. So if you ever feel that correction, or if you haven't experienced it in a while, ask God. God, David's prayer in the Psalms was, Lord, search me and try me and test me. Know my thoughts. And if there's any wickedness in me, or if there's anything that is drawing me away from you, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to you. Draw me back to you. And if God does that and he disciplines you and he corrects you, just say, thank you, God. I know you love me and you want what's best for me. It's a great place to be when we allow the Holy Spirit to discipline. And how does God discipline us? Well, one of the biggest ways he disciplines us is through his word. Because sometimes we read this word and we look at it and go, ooh, I don't like that. I don't even know if I agree with that. But we have to decide, are we going to trust and submit to God and his authority? Or are we going to be God and tell him how we're going to do it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. This week has been the last couple weeks. First of all, I love the music that we sang this morning. I love singing about the goodness of God in that third song. I love singing that all my life, he's been faithful. All my life, he's been so, so good. And it doesn't mean everything in my life has been good and everything that's happened to me has been good. But God has been faithful even through the down times, even through the struggles, even through the hard times. And I just want to give testament to God today. I don't think I adequately did it in the first service, and I may not be adequately able to do it in the second service. But I want to give praise to God this morning for the faithfulness, for his love and his faithfulness. The love and his faithfulness, even when you watch your loved one take their last breath or their last breaths. In Jesus Christ, he is good, he is faithful, we have hope, we have joy. And I can't imagine doing this life without God. I can't imagine doing this life without Jesus. This life is hard enough. the struggles in this life and the setbacks and the hurts and the heartaches, they're hard enough without God. But with God, He directs our paths. And there is a path of joy. There is a path of hope. There is a path that doesn't make sense if we'll lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways, submit to Him. God will direct our paths. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for He is with us. His rod, His staff, they comfort us. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. And friends, if we trust and submit to Jesus Christ, we are going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I just want to give testament and testimony today that God is good and God is faithful. And if you're having a tough time today trusting in Him for whatever it is, you can trust Him. You can submit to Him. You can trust Him. You can submit your life to Him. Don't lean on your own understanding. God will direct your paths. He'll lead you to the best path and where you need to go. He loves you. You pray with me this morning, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed today, Heavenly Father. In these next few moments, this is the part where we've heard your word and we've heard your message. This is the part where we get to respond. And we can respond with a yes, or we can respond with a no. We can respond with, I'm going to trust you and submit my life to you, or we can respond with, I'm not ready to let go. I'm going to keep going my direction. Lord, I pray for bold courage in this room right now. I pray, Lord, for every heart and every mind. I pray that, Lord, there would be hearts and minds right now submitting themselves to you, trusting in you, not leaning on their own understanding for whatever their situation is, but in all their ways that they'll submit whatever their situation is, whether on the mountaintop or whether in the valley, they're going to submit to you, and you are going to direct them and their paths. You're going to help them be on the best path that you have for them. With your head bowed and your eyes closed this morning, the best thing you can do this morning is to trust Jesus Christ and submit your life to Him. I won't embarrass you or call you out, but by a testament of faith, just raise your hand that you want to be prayed for. So I see that hand already being raised. I see those hands. I see your hands, yes. You know, even if I don't see them, I say it's 8 or 9 of them, but even if I don't see them, what's important is that God sees you. He sees you. The God of the universe sees you. The God of the universe knows you. The God of the universe sent His Son to die for you. The God of the universe, the God of all creation, rose from the dead for you, that you might have life. He who finds God finds life. Thank you, Jesus, for these that have responded in quick obedience today, responding to you more. Lord, bless their obedience to you. Lord, your spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're a child of God when we trust you. And so I pray for that spirit of God right now to rest upon my friends that are trusting in you and taking that step. I'm going to invite you all to stand and open your eyes. There's a prayer that we pray as a confirmation of our faith. And for those who raised their hand today, they may be praying it for the first time or maybe praying it for a return. But let's pray this today as a body of believers. Let's make this be our statement of faith. Would you repeat after me? Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that He gave His life to forgive my sins, that He was raised from the grave to give me life. I receive your grace by faith. Come into my life. I will follow you. Amen. Amen. Let's praise God for what He's done today. Pastor Christie.